Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts this evening. I shall be joined by Rob, the other one. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going over there, too.
That's good. It's going. I dropped my microphone, and I couldn't find it. And my headset. So it was. Apparently, I found it now because, you know, you can hear me and stuff.
Well,
but it was
a bit of a fiasco.
Otherwise, I
like,
lost it.
Good job. That's weird, and good job. Like, I don't know how you managed to pull that one off. Like, go you.
I don't
you.
Know where it's at. I know I'm just screaming, and I know it's around somewhere.
Right. When all else fails, just, you know, give it a good.
I'm just screaming at the top of my lungs and hoping you can hear me.
Yes. Well, loud and clear.
Awesome. So then I'm surprised.
Me too.
No, I'm fine. How about you?
I'm good.
That's what I got for you. Good. I'm good. So I'm excited for our guest tonight. Patty Negri. We haven't had her on in, I think, like 2 or 3 months, and maybe even more. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Time flies. And, you know, I'm still playing catch up.
Yeah.
We investigated this past weekend, and that was fun. I think we got some possible decent evidence, and we got to catch up with old friends and actually find a new place. So I was happy with the weekend's investigations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Me too.
We had we had many things happen. Even some things that I did that were stupid, like pick up a dead bat. So thinking it was a piece of paranormal equipment. That was the first.
Yeah. That is definitely something that I have not done yet. I'll say yet because I'm not saying that it probably won't happen. And if it has, I just don't know it. And I guess I'm probably okay with that. But as you know, I have my own stories with bats.
Right. And I think I was maybe jealous of your bat stories and wanted one for my own. So now I have one.
There you go. Had to be like me.
So I think yours are probably a little bit better than mine because, you know, you were just standing there, you didn't do anything, and me, I physically was like, oh, look, there's one of my pieces of equipment, let me go pick that up, and I get, you know, it was
not
dark,
so much.
So it was
just
to let you know that it was, like, dark. it was nighttime, we had the lights off, it was not, like, daytime, just to, let the listeners know that, I guess I don't see as well as I thought I did, but still, it was pitch black. So you can
but
see
your
like
vision's not that bad, right?
No, it wasn't like daytime, like high noon or anything like that.
Right. Well, thank goodness,
I would be at the eye doctor today if that was the case.
I would hope so because, like, yeah, I'd be like, you definitely need to go because that would be too much.
I probably need to go anyway. That would just be like the
straw that breaks
accelerator. Yeah. Like, hey, what finally made you come
it's
in?
Really
well,
time. Right.
I thought I was picking up this little black box, but I said it was a dead bat.
Right.
So that's where it all went downhill from that point forward. So,
of course, yeah. Well, I don't think that if that's the uplifting moment of your day, then or like your highlight of your day, then maybe you need to find something new to do. You know, because, you know, I could see somebody being like, "I did the coolest thing today. I picked up a dead bat." I'd be like, No.
Well, I think it actually was one of the highlights of our investigation because it was funny.
That it was. It was. Funnier after you had the opportunity to wash your hands.
Yeah, sure. You were pretty adamant about that. I was going to let it ride out, but you're like, no, you got to go wash your hands.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just yuck. You know, ew, sorry.
Yeah, I was just gonna continue on, but
there's a time, and that's the time.
We were at the top floor of the building investigating, and it took a while to get up there. So I was like, oh, it's gonna take a while to get down, obviously. And if we want to come all the way back, you know, that was what I was, you know, referring to. It was fun.
But, yeah, I mean, we had fun. Definitely had fun.
Well, and should we tell them when we investigated, or just wait till we maybe come out with some footage?
It's up to you. It's up to you.
Okay, so we were at a location called the Twin City Opera House in McConnellsville, Ohio. And we were told to go up and, you know, investigate this really cool area. It was the top, very top, high top. And that's where my bad incident was. And I'd walk all the way back down.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it. That's it in a nutshell. Yeah. That was really a very, very lame and poor explanation. But Twin Cities Opera House, it's a great place. I definitely would check that out. Look it up. Check it out. We had some interesting stuff happen. We did a remote call with one of our regulars, remote viewers, the Purple Dahlia, not the average medium. And that was very interesting. And on top of it, we captured, I think, a couple of good EVPs.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what else? We'll have to review the footage. Obviously, it's only Tuesday. We came back Sunday, so we don't have any kind of review of the footage.
But, yeah. Not yet.
So, you know, one day we're going to have Patty call in and do a remote session with us. I think that's a must. That was kind of a fly by seat of your pants thing that we decided to come up and do it on Saturday, and I think we'll probably put that up on a video. So look for that on both our Facebook page and our YouTube page, which we've neglected for years, but that's not coming back around. So speaking of Patty, I think she's probably on the line, so let's bring her on.
Yeah, let's bring her in. Hey, Patty.
Hey. Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good.
I'm excellent. Long day, good day. I like having busy days again. It was getting too boring for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. We actually first investigation this past weekend. We did two locations, one on Friday and one on Saturday, and it was fun to get back out and do stuff again.
Good. Yeah, I did a house clearing today. I did one over the weekend because stuff has been so active and crazy. But again, I've just been staying away. I still did it very social distancing. I never took my mask off. I kept my distance. But it's just good to get out there again.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, it was. It's different out there right now. So we went to one place that we normally, you know, it's a regular place for us. And then, you know, just all the stuff that we, you know, we usually do was different. Like in the area, I'd go into like a hotel and doing all this other stuff, which is really bizarre. Like everything was just so much different than your normal, you know, even though you think you're accustomed to it, it's just different.
Right. It's a different world. It's a different world. A different spirit. Our world's different. Spirit world's different. It's like, okay. They're as confused as we are.
Yeah.
Well, have you noticed? I think there's been a huge increase in paranormal activity lately, but I think it has a lot to do with the fact that people are home, and they probably did not notice it as much as they did when they were not home. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. I've heard some theories that it's like people are saying, oh, there's more activity. We don't know why. And I just, I feel as if it's as simple as the fact that you're home. Because, like, even myself, I did not normally spend, like, 4 hours a day in my basement. And then I noticed some activity in my basement. But now I think it's because I did spend those 4 hours, you know, every day in the basement that I normally would not have. So is there, like, more activity? Is there something in the air or in the spirit world? Or is it just that we're all home more?
I think that's one big third or half of it, that we are home more. And we're you know, there's not even sports for sports people. We are here and we're alive, awake more. So that's a big part. We're just home. We're instead of running. That's number one. Number two, I do believe the chaos that we are feeling, or the confusion or the fear we are feeling, whether it's financial or health, affects the other side. Number two. And number three, we're moving into the age of Aquarius. The veil is thinning. It's going to continue long past the pandemic and everything else going on. We're moving into a different vibrational tone where the paranormal in our world is going to be a whole lot closer.
Right.
Well, I know we were investigating a building that has an abundance of haunted items. And the first thing I was thinking is, like, we should call Patty and do a seance. But it was on a whim. So I was like, you know, there's no way she's going to be on a whim. Like, all right, let's go. You know, so.
Well, you never know.
I should have tried. I didn't know why I did not, but it was kind of awkward for me because I know we have talked, and I had that accident, and so it was my first time back out, and I really wasn't sure like what I was capable or ready for or everything. So it was kind of just like it was a whole fly by the seat of your pants like investigation, and everything, because I just wasn't sure what I was up for.
Right. Right, right. But those sometimes are the best times, and sometimes not, I guess, but, you know. To me, that's when you don't know what you're getting into. I mean, I usually kind of never know what I'm getting into. I don't, if I'm the medium on a gig, I don't want the history. I don't want to know anything. I just want to discover it. Even on Ghost Adventures, Zach would not tell me anything anyway. The crew would not tell me. I think I said before, they will keep me locked in a trunk of a car if they have to not know the location that I'm at. They blindfold you. They put you in the dark. And I like that. That's how I want to work. That's so my left brain doesn't get in the way of my, you know, right brain, my intuitive brain. That's my job, when I'm being the psychic or medium on the gig. And you never know what you're getting.
Maybe we should have just also... One day, and I know that people have asked us, and it's one thing that people I know want us to do, either on live feed or the video and then upload it, is to do a remote seance. And I know we talked about it the last time. You said you possibly would be up for it. So I think I'm going to put you on a spot on air, which has been more difficult for you to turn us down. And hopefully one of these days soon we can do it. We won't tell you where we're going.
Okay.
And I mean, whatever your rules are, we can, you know, abide by them. But it would be cool if we didn't tell you where we were going and then just, you know, be seated and say, hey, let's go.
Okay. Well, give it a try. I'm game. I like a challenge. So, I will commit to that. Again, I've done a couple remote ones. One was... maybe both of them were Halloween or right around Halloween, 2 years in a, not two. And it's interesting because you're dealing, those were when I was there, it would be the same way. I have to deal with the spirits with me, so I have to keep my area really clear. So it's like when I'm lifting the veil at my seance table, like the other ones I was with, one I was with Bridget Marquardt and Holly Madison, and so we had our own table full of people that those spirits came in, and then other people would call in or text in from all over everywhere. So it felt a little game showy, like, okay, Bridget's Uncle Bob wants to talk, and then from Ohio, Ken's calling in, and I'm like, wah! And the other one was very similar, too. It was at a little occult shop here in L.A. called The Crooked Path, and we actually had... They had one of those 360 cameras on the center of the seance table, so the people watching it could It was awesome, actually. Could look at whoever at the seance table they wanted to. You could watch, you know, the seance 8 times and never see the same thing because of the 360 camera. But the same thing happened. I was so bombarded with the spirits at the table with us and then bombarded with the spirits of the people who came in. It's a good challenge. I like a good challenge. Now, this would be slightly different because you guys would be at the haunted location and I wouldn't be. So I haven't quite done that yet. So that'll be fun.
Cool.
Well, you know, now you just made it even more interesting for me because you said you've never done that before.
I've never done that before.
From us talking previously, you said, you know, you pretty much have done everything. So
I've
found something you haven't done.
Yeah, I haven't.
You said that last show, but now we found it.
Yeah, you found it.
Yep.
But you have to promise not to do it with anyone else until we get it.
Oh, right. I'm yours. Mm-hmm. I'm you guys's. Yes. I won't do it. Again, because people all the time want me to do a remote-y kind of a thing, but not when you guys are on the investigation somewhere else and I'm checking in. It's kind of just doing it. Yeah, let's do it. Again, I might get crickets. I got nothing, or not. But go to someplace really haunted so I can check into it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll totally do it.
Oh no, it's on now. It's official.
Yep.
And you know what we'll do is maybe we'll just videotape it, and then we'll upload it, and we can all upload it together, make like a big deal about it.
Okay.
So we'll work on that.
You figure out the tech part. That's not my.
We'll figure out the location. We'll just call you, seated at a table, and we'll be good to go.
Okay.
No, it's funny because I'm just looking back and think. I guess what's in my mind is our investigations from this past weekend, and we were at a location that had a bunch of items that were haunted, supposedly, and had activity, you know, around them or came from people who, like, were serial killers and stuff like, you know, that the personal items that they owned. It's a very interesting place. So what do you think about, like, haunted items and stuff? Do you think that their items can actually have attachments? I think we touched base on this before, but since it's, you know, a topic we were just talking about, I thought I'd maybe get your opinion on it.
Yes, I think that they can. I think energy or spirit can attach to a lot of things. I know if I walk into, like, an antique store or a thrift store, it's like, whoa. It's like the scent, the life force of something, whether it's a vase or it's an old painting. All the life, it's like a haunted house, how things step into, like when you're in an old haunted building or the old haunted hospital, and that all the life that took first there, it gets into the walls, it gets into the floors. And that's part of what, sometimes it's not just the ghost that's at the haunted place, it's literally the place is teeming. You guys have experienced that, right? It's just the energy itself, the vibration itself, the really good or usually really bad or whatever went on there, it takes on a life of its own. The same thing they could do that with an object. That's why, and, you know, whether it's a haunted vase or a haunted picture or a haunted plate or certainly haunted dolls. And that's why I think haunted dolls, if I was a spirit and I'm going to hook onto something, I'm going to hook onto something with an eyes and a nose and a mouth and the ears versus, you know, the vase or the plate sitting there. So, and it works for us, too, because now they have eyes and a nose, so you can actually communicate with it better. It's just like working with a fetish or a golem or a familiar in witchcraft, not the cat familiar, but if you're working with a bone or a skull, you like something with a face because you can actually communicate with the spirit inside the inanimate object.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah, I personally have some items, and I picked them up throughout the years, you know, when people have said, oh, I don't want this, or, you know, I know Nikki does it more than I do, when it comes to, like, dolls and stuff, but, you know, even, like, I have a chair that was in storage, it was a rocking chair, and apparently it rocked by itself. It was, you know, this lady's, you know, favorite chair, and, you know, I don't know if they're attached to, like, what they just call them, visit the chair. I have a hard time believing that people become a doll. You know, and, you know, these theories, you know, and, you know, I don't know if, you know, I just don't know. And I think it's a very interesting thing, man. I agree with you. As you walk into a place and you can tell when, you know, there's stuff all over. It could be
Well, yeah, you don't. I don't think they become a doll. They just take over a doll.
Right.
Right.
You know, again, yeah. And I'd rather get in a doll than a plate.
Oh, yeah.
So, but, yeah, so, and I think, because I certainly feel when I go in places, when I do clearings in houses, which I do a lot of, I look and I feel or a sense for objects. What's the charge thing? What in this room has a charge? You know, and it's not necessarily an antique or this or that, and it's not even necessarily a spirit itself haunted, but it's got that energy, and it works like almost like a conduit or a battery or energizer bunny of sorts.
Right, definitely.
No, and that's what we were, you know, trying to figure out, and you know, we
so
actually
did you guys feel stuff? What did you feel or sense or not or?
I think it's one of those things that we did, and you could tell there's multiple rooms, and they were all, you know, just displays and stuff, and I think there were rooms that were heavier than other rooms, and then, you know, items that were definitely heavier. It was interesting, and I think as long as you keep an open mind, the time we were there previously, one of the things that they have there is an execution cap. And they have a list of the people who were executed wearing that cap. And, you know, my first thought process is like, who the hell would come visit their execution cap? You know,
right.
You know, yeah. This is going to go nowhere. And it's funny because, so we start doing our sessions and we get a response and I said, who are you? And they gave the full first and last name of one of the guys on the wall. You know, so that was interesting. But then my thought then goes to, is it somebody who is just, you know, playing a joke on us? It's a spirit that can
right.
read the names of the people on the wall? Or was it actually like that? But regardless, we did get, you know, activity, which was cool. But then, you know, my skepticism takes over because maybe it was, you know, if I was stuck in a place and then maybe I was attached to something else and I saw, hey, here's some, you know, a-holes or whatever looking at this cat. They're like, attachment. I'm going to give them an attachment, you know. And so I'm going to say I'm the guy on the wall, you know. So I think so we had stuff like that happen. I can't say there's definitely stuff happening inside of the building that I can't explain.
I'm loving that. Is it really that guy on the wall or is it guy trickster? And I think the trickster would be even funnier. A ghost with a sense of humor.
Exactly.
I'm Santa Claus. Yeah, I'm Santa Claus, yeah. You know, and we know that it's not really a little girl, it's a big dark thing or whatever. But to try to imitate somebody written on a wall would be hysterical. You know, I guess it could happen as good as anything else.
Right.
Do you come across that ever? Have you ever come across, you know, somebody portraying somebody else? Or, you know, I'm sure that happens all the time because we hear about, you know, then we hear about the dark entities, you know, portraying a little kid or something.
Right.
You know, how often do you come across that kind of thing?
Actually, well, the dark entities portray a light entity that's more like, you're not really my grandma, are you? Or the funniest one that I always call, I call them, you know, liquor store ghosts. The ones that come in, it's like, yes, I'm your spirit guide, or I'm your grandma, or I'm your whatever. And it's just like, you know, some bum ghost from the 7-Eleven. He's like, really? You don't sound like my grandma. But again, I think almost everybody is intuitive enough to go, something's fishy in Denmark. This doesn't feel right, sound right, sense right. And you can tell. But I do think, you go, a darker energy will pretend to be a lighter energy, like the bad spirit being a little girl or what I call, you know, the liquor store ghosts. But I've never heard of an okay or positive spirit trying to imitate another positive spirit.
Right.
And I don't know why they couldn't, though. I've never experienced that.
Yeah, you think they could, but maybe they're like, you know, they're too honest or they're too good.
No, I'm me, dang it.
And you automatically become
right.
honest? I don't think so.
Or maybe just because everybody wants to be, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm Michael Jackson. I suppose there's a bunch of ghosts that say they are Michael Jackson or so-and-so or Kobe Bryant or whatever. But I don't know if they go into deep thinking that much in my experience with spirits, especially just mundane, everyday ghosts and spirits aren't going to go into high, heavy, like they're going to play checkers, not chess.
Right.
Well, you know, I assume if you're like a prankster on when you're living, you might be a prankster in death.
We'll have to look for that. I like that. I do think prankster living, prankster death. I think we kind of stay who we are, you know, within reason. We don't become angels all of a sudden or this, that, or the other thing. I think a lot of time with regular ghosts, I mean regular people, the 90% of the population, the 90%, just, you know, all the regular folk who move on, you do get a slightly higher perspective. Because when I'm doing my mediumship, it's like if I'm talking to somebody and there was petty differences, the spirit seems to have gotten over most of the petty differences better than the still living human does. It's like literally like a higher perspective, maybe because it's literally they're up in the heavens, you get a higher perspective. Some of the petty stuff goes away.
Right.
It's something to think about.
That's something good. So guys, go find us a prankster ghost who says it's a guy on the wall.
Yeah. Exactly.
But see, so many spirits, because everybody likes their name. It's like, no, it's me. If you have a group of people with either equipment or the gift or the sight, and they're out to see you, most people want to be seen and heard. No, I'm not going to tell you I'm Bob Jones on the wall. I was Fred. That seems more common to me, because we all want to be recognized, dead or living.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like even one of the EVPs we had got on Saturday night was, you know, we said, are you there? Or I forget what the question was, but the response was, it's me. And I was like, well, who the hell is me? You know, so, you know, you'd think if they want to be known, they would give us their actual name. It's, and I can count on my hand how many first and last names we have gotten, you know, so.
I don't know if they just assume
it's me or hey or, you know, hi or. There's been some that have blown us away when it came to getting the first and last name, and I'm like, well, that's a weird name, and then we've had it verified. You know, and there's one that was especially bizarre that we had verified, and it was like one of those names that you couldn't. It wasn't like Smith. Couldn't make it up. And, you know, we were investigating a place, and the name came through, and the guy was like, oh, yeah, he worked here. And I was like, what? You know, very rarely do you get the first and last name, and we had the first and last name. Plus, it was a pretty cool first and last name.
That's awesome.
I liked it. It was.
Yeah.
I think I overdid it. Nikki will tell you I tend to overdo stuff by, like, repeating it over and over. But the guy's name, and I think we can – Nicole, do you think we can say his name?
Sure.
So we get an EVP, and the EVP, or we were on a ghost box, and the guy said Kenny. We said, "What's your last name?" He said Danko. So his name was Kenny Danko, and it turned out that Kenny Danko was an employee of the building.
Wow,
and to
that's
me,
a good
Kenny,
one.
I thought Kenny Danko was a great name.
Yeah, that is a good name. That's a good name for a ghost. Good name for a living person. Good name for a movie star, Kenny Danko. Yeah, starring Kenny Danko.
You know, I think, like, you know, like he had to play like high school football or something. People are like, oh, yeah, good old Kenny Danko. I remember him back from high school. That's my take on the name. Probably way overanalyzing it, but that's the first thing I thought. I was like, wow, that's on top of it, that you have a really great name.
Yeah. I think the reason we don't get so the it's me's and the Betty, the get half of the first name or half is because it takes a lot of energy. You know, even working with spirit boxes and stuff, I think it takes, they have to work at getting that much energy to communicate that well.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and I think even with some of our devices, that's the thing is, like, you want to communicate with them for a ton of time, and people expect them to, you know, be lighting up their devices for hours and hours. And you're like, you know, if it's taking a good amount of energy to light it up, you know, there has to be a downtime. They can't just be lighting everything up nonstop. And be like, you know, where'd you go? Or are you still there? You know, and it's interesting. You just, you know, the one thing that I know for sure is you can sometimes, we can feel the energy, you know, kind of brewing in the air, And I had to use brewing because I was reading
yeah.
about, you know, I
like
your,
it. It's
your
brewing,
witch work.
Which is brew,
yeah,
brewing.
Your witch work,
mm-hmm.
you know, had me,
very good.
Had me say that. Yeah. So I mean, that's I'm going to go segment into that next. So I thought I'd use it there. But,
nice.
You know, we can feel that, you know, before they mm-hmm. go off. You can tell that energy in the air as it's manifesting. You know, and I don't, a lot of people look at us like we're weird. But I'm like, hey, do you feel it? She's like, yeah, I feel it. Like, you know, you can feel that energy. And I think we've done so many investigations now that you can kind of, I don't know if it's just something that we've picked up on or if it's something that, you know, if people get in tune with it, they can pick up on. But I can tell you 9 times out of 10, before our devices go off, it's going to go off within the next minute because there's energy being manifested. You can feel it in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and the tools are almost just like a confirmation in a sense, because I believe I do believe everybody has that gift. It's just most people overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
We're born with it. Kids
right.
are really intuitive or psychic or whatever word you want to use. And then, you know, as soon as you bring your left brain, your logical brain, you shut down the other side. But if you're feeling it, and that's why I like when I started doing different TV shows or especially ghost adventures, stuff that I've been doing since I was 7 years old and seances, it's like, and I'm trying to explain what I'm seeing and they've got a camera, an SLS camera in the other room that's doing exactly what I'm saying. It's like, wow. To me, it's just like such cool validation both ways.
Oh, yeah.
It validates the psychic kit and it validates the equipment. When you're getting separate
yeah.
and don't know each other's going on, that's what's cool about
exactly.
tech.
Well,
oh, yeah.
even the simplest technology, like I use dowsing rods on Saturday night, and I was never a big dowsing rod person, and I don't know if you are or not.
I am.
Your,
I love
your
dowsing
history.
Rods.
So I'm mm-hmm. going to throw this out there. This is what I think I had in my mind. And once that's something in my mind, then you're done for.
Yeah, it's done.
If we work well together, this is what you'll learn. So we were talking about the different energy and how we could feel it. And we were just in the basement of the building. And we went up, we were cleaning up, and I see the rods there. So I started doing the rods. And I have a really great success with them. And that's even me mm-hmm. speaking those words sometimes just sets me back a little bit because I never thought those words would be coming out of my mouth. But
I didn't either.
Towards the end in which Nikki was like, you should have wrote it down ahead of time, is I was giving my questions and telling the rods what to do subconsciously, not even, you know, and spoken. And they were going, it was 10 for 10 of what I wanted them to do. And that brought up a whole new thing I'm going to try now is, you know, writing them down the 10 things I'm going to ask or do. And,
right, because
you know,
were
because
like, it's doing
I'll
it,
say,
and I'm like, doing what? There's no way to validate, unfortunately, because you were asking silently. So I'm like, okay, and I'm like, I just started laughing because I'm like, you can't tell what you're asking, and you're like, it's doing it. And I'm like,
well,
like
and
dude,
then, and then of
I
course
can't
it's
read
like,
your
no.
mind.
I had our friend Jim was to the left, so I would say pointing to Jim. And then, you know, Nikki was on the right. I'd say point to Nikki, and they both would point back and forth what I was subconsciously thinking. And then I said cross, and they would cross. And I said spin them like a helicopter. They'd spin like a helicopter. So I found that to be really interesting. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. I do love dowsing rods. They're like my, and I have them with me all the time. I have an emergency Ouija board in my car and dowsing rods always. And dowsing rods can give you really subtle little. I've learned with mine, like right to left means something. It's about that particular person or thing. Left to, if it's my right hand one, if it's a left hand one, that's outside influences from spirit. There's all these nuances. If you start working with them, you get to know them.
Right.
Well,
definitely.
Have you used them in that manner where you just, you know, some kind, you know, you just were thinking what you wanted them to do and ask the question that way, or have you always spoken the question?
Well, no, I have done it that way, but again, unless you're all by yourself, it doesn't. The other person
right.
doesn't have to hear it,
right?
Because it helps if the other person. go left, you know. And so, but no, you can do it. Spirit's going to hear you. I think the spoken word is always more powerful. Always more power. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're doing magic like I do magic, if you're talking to spirits, if you're talking to humans, not that we can't, you know, mentally telecommunicate with each other, because, you know, I think we'll all get there. But the power of the word is that you're using your voice, you're using your breath, you're using your pneuma, your life force. Every sound has a meaning. So making it, just saying the word, is there a spirit here, is going to be stronger than just thinking, is there a spirit here?
Right. Unless you were me on Saturday
definitely.
Night holding the rods. You know, you're doing
whatever. I was still,
but they were.
I was
so
like,
hey.
I can't read your mind. I can't read your mind. He's like, it's doing it. I'm telling you. And I'm like, but I don't know what you're asking. He's like, I'm doing it in my mind.
Then,
I'm like, okay.
And then I ended
like,
up getting, like, pissed off because she was like, she's like, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, you really think I would make that up? Because that would be something that I would find beneficial for me to make up to you only. Because we weren't filming it. And then it was like, I just gave up because I was getting mad because, like, what are you talking about? Like, why would I make that up? You know, and then it was like, this is going to go to a downhill argument very fast. Let's just cut it off.
Yes.
But then, you know, I was thinking then how many times do you think, you know, when you're investigating something and you don't say it verbally, but then maybe you get the response to what you're thinking. And then it took me a whole nother, that's like the guy on the wall thing, you know. So... I guess it's not good to be thinking when you're investigating, because then.
No, you can think. It's in order to receive validation from others that you're with, it would be better to verbalize it if you're with people. If you're by yourself, I think by all means you can, you know, you don't have to necessarily speak certain things out loud. You know, you can communicate, you know, in a different sense. But for others to be able to validate your the responses with you and be as excited as you were, be better to hear.
I really was super excited. I just now I just realize I need to, like,
that's why
I
it was harder
to
believe
nicely.
You because we're so excited.
I need to think nicely because, you know, you would hate to think, hey, this guy next to me is a real jerk, and then on the ghost box and comes through, you know, hey, yeah, that guy is a jerk, you know. So I have to remember to think nice thoughts now because
your nice thoughts,
yeah. Well, I was looking at your website today, which I've done numerous times, and I've seen, you know, the books. And we talked about, the last time we had you on, we talked about a spell you did for money.
Uh-huh.
And it had to do with burning a dollar, I believe.
Yep, burning a dollar bill. It worked.
And
did you try it?
I did not. No, and I did not do that. And since then, I was injured and had to pay out a lot of money. So I guess I probably should have
better get a dollar, Rob.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's, I'm a big mind, body, spirit. Well, I've believed in done magic my whole life, but it's again, it's the psychological part of it is one third of it. The action of it is one third of it. And then the magic, the whatever, the spell working, the spirits and all that is one third of it. You have it all together, you get it. And the burning of the money, how I came up with this one, I've been doing it literally since the 80s, and it's always worked. It's number one, if you want to look at it in the old school, sacrificing the dollar for many more kind of things, not that I believe in sacrifice of anything except maybe a dollar bill once in a while. But it's like we have such weird thoughts about money. We think it's so hard and it's this thing. All it is a piece of paper, and it's an energy source. It's an exchange source and an energy source. So there's my dollar spell where you're writing all over it what you want, in no debts, no new car, new computer, whatever your money is. You're writing all of it and then you're burning it up. You're kind of breaking your thought patterns as well as sacrificing the dollar bill to bigger dollar bills.
Right.
Well, and I guess it's a good point. So I guess maybe I'll do it this time. I didn't do it last time and see where it got me.
The most it'll cost you is a dollar.
Right.
You know, that's not an expensive experiment. But put in your passion, Rob, you have to, again, anybody who does magic is like, if you're not sure it's going to work, have faith. Like, damn it, it's going to work. I'm going to put your passion into it. If you're sitting there burning your dollar bill going, yeah, I hope it works. Money here, money now, money come to me. Money here, money now, money come to me. It's like, you're not going to get it. If you're like, money here, money now, money come to me. And I want sweat dripping down your cheek. You think you're not going to get that? You are. That's what magic is passion and intent and focal point, pinpoint direction.
Do you hear that, Rob? You can't do it. Like, with the yawning, because that was the perfect recreation right there of what I imagine you doing it like. Like, oh, you know.
No,
you
are
really
sweating.
There was once, I think maybe like 6 years ago, that I yawned at like 8 o'clock on the investigation and made her mad. So like, I'll intentionally yawn.
You fell asleep on an investigation. Okay, you fell asleep on an investigation.
One time,
yes.
And it was like 3:30 in the morning, and we were somewhere in Kentucky. That's all I remember. It was ever since then. Like, you don't let people forget. So,
no, never. You have
now,
to be awake to investigate.
Now I know you're known as the Good Witch, and how do you use that to your advantage to communicate with spirits compared to like how we do it? Is there like a different form of communication that, you know, you use?
Well, my witchy side is different than my medium side or my psychic side. The medium side is the one that sees and can talk to dead people. The psychic side is this part that kind of sees future and whatever. The witchy side, my witchy side, that's learning how to manipulate energy and matter. That my witchy is the one who knows how to lift the veil that everyone can see the spirits around a seance table. You know, a lot of mediums do seances. A lot of witches do seances. And a lot of them are combined. Witches become mediums and mediums become witches. But I know energetically, and there's many ways to do it, how to lift that veil so everyone at a table, it's like they're putting on a pair of glasses or taking off a pair of glasses. So that's what I can use my witchy side, working with it's manipulating matter, manipulating energy, manipulating thought, manipulating spirit to open up doors for spirit. I'm not going to manipulate spirit when I get there. That was a misspeak. I don't mean I'm going to, you know, start forcing spirits to do things. I always invite. I don't force. But I do know how to make activity happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, you know, for everybody to be able to really experience it, to amp it up.
Right.
In other than just, you know, terrorizing the ghost, you know, that amps it up too, but that's always not in the most positive way. It can
right.
amp it up from a really positive place. So I think that's it. Again, because they're different things. To be a witch, it can mean a lot of things. It can mean the religion side of it. I'm Wiccan, or I'm ceremonial, or I'm shamanic, or I'm a green witch, or there's many kinds of witchcraft as there is of any Christianity or any other. So, you know, being a witch in itself doesn't help you see the other side, but learning witchcraft in itself can help you teach you to learn the other side and other people. Did that help? Was that an answer? Was that too roundabout?
Well, no, and I think what I was trying to get to is, you know, I've seen seances, like, done by, you know, differently. You know, by someone who considers himself just a witch, or someone who considers himself just this or just that. And it seems like, you know, you do so many different things. Like, when you go in to do like a seance, what is your basic rule of thumb for how you conduct your seance?
How I work elementally, and again, I started doing this at 7 or 8. Nobody had taught me. It was just in me how to kind of know how to pick up the veil, like it is on Halloween or it is on May 1st day, where the veil is thinnest. I work, and I've studied my entire life. I study religion, philosophy, occult sciences, regular sciences, metaphysics, blah, 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 because you got to know your tools, how to work it. I personally work elementally. I set up my wards. I set up my protectors. You know, somebody could work with Christ light, they're Christian. Somebody could work with angels, put in your Archangel Michael. I work with elements. I work with dragons, all positive. I only work in the light. But I set up my wards, and then I call in the elements. I literally do work with the air to push anything out. I work with the fire to burn anything negative out. I work with the water, the emotions, the mists of the ancestors to open it up. I work with the earth to be able to keep it grounded and to open things up. And then I swirl it around the cauldron and we lift the veil. So, again, mine isn't any better or any than anybody else's, but I do have a way that people can walk away going, holy moly, I saw that. I've smelled that. I've felt that. I sensed that. I heard that. That's a gift that I was given and then studied my entire life. Just like when, you know, it's like when, because you got to know what you're doing, because if something goes wrong and something can always go wrong, you have to know what to do there too. You know, if it's an ancient Egyptian deity, you got to know how to deal with the ancient Egyptian deity.
Well, and that's why I think it would be good to do a seance with you, because when we go to some of these places, and even a place like that's got haunted items, you don't know where they're coming from or what their attachment is. And it seems like, you know, there could be a lot of, I've seen some reckless or seances that I don't even think you would call a seance. Like compared to what I've seen you do, I think, you know, you would be the right person because of your experience and things that you have so many, different ways you could attack something, or if something went awry.
Yes, you have to know if something, because it can always go awry. No matter how prepared you are, no matter how gifted you are, no matter how educated you are, spirit is spirit. Life is life. Humans are humans. You can't completely control humans. You can't completely control spirits, but you have to know what to do if it does. Yeah.
All right.
So let's play.
We're going to definitely do it.
Definitely, we have to.
And I use words like "let's play," but I take it extraordinarily seriously. And the one thing that I demand, you say how I said I work elementally. I burn herbs. I burn very, very specific mixes of herbs. I use a lot of dragon's blood. I use a lot of mugwort. I use a lot of stuff that I'm not going to give all my secrets out of what I use. I use a lot of sound, very old. It's styled old Victorian spiritualist style. I even use some of the poems I use are straight out of the Victorian. There's a place where we all go, and there the spirits flat, to get the cadence in, to get the sound of the heka work, the sound magic out. And it just adds to the magic of it. But the one thing I demand, whatever thing, is you have to respect. I'm like, okay, if you're a skeptic at the table, that's okay. I love skeptics. Skeptics can fall the hardest. But believer or skeptic or anywhere in the beginning, you have to be respectful. Because if you're not respectful, that's when the trouble happens. And that's the one time, you know, when I had that, I think I talked about it before, at the Marilyn Manson house, when somebody burst into flames. That's what lack of respect will get you.
Right.
You know,
I'm
never looked that up.
I
wanted to look that up.
I'm dying to see that. I know.
You can't find it.
What? I didn't hear that was twice.
we talked about that the last time, and, you know, we did not, but I didn't look that up. And you said it might have been out there somewhere. So.
Remind me, I think there's one, a lot of it is held back. I know I've seen part of it. The guy who was caught on fire, because then he wrote the script with Stephen Norrington, the guy from, you know, the Blade series and League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, about this TV psychic who then opens a portal, and it's a really good script. They haven't done it yet because he got another, like, hit movie in between. And when he was doing, like, a fundraising campaign, like one of those kind of things for it, he did put together a little thing where I think some of that is in there. And there's another film. Oh, yeah, there's another one by the guy who was making the first documentary we're shooting, which is called The Mary Astor House. He's got a short video. Just remind me, and I will find them and share them with you, links. It's like on Vimeo and stuff like that. Probably hard to find if you don't know where you're going.
Right. Yeah, I'd definitely like to see that. I've always been like, I don't know, I used to be a firefighter, so maybe that's one of the reasons. And also, I've always thought, like, spontaneous combustion is, like, super interesting to me. And then, like, the fact that you had some guy, like, burst into flames, totally right up my alley.
Yeah, it was wild. I mean, who'd have thunk it? It's like,
I know, right?
Holy moly. Okay.
How do you... How do you prepare for that in the future? You know, it's like, oh, crap. Do I need to have, somebody with a fire extinguisher on hand just on the safe side? Or... Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, kind of. You do. Kind of you do. And, again, I'm much more energetic, and that's why I called in my wards and how I said dragons. That's why the guy's scarring looks like he got a tattoo of a dragon, which is so awesome. And, it's a point
right.
of pride for him now. And, again, because that was my protection coming in, is that Crossroads dragon magic energy. But yeah, I think having a fire extinguisher is just as important and just as required as whatever protection techniques you happen to use.
And clearly it just reinforces the fact that you need to come to the table with respect, because otherwise you might not be so lucky to get that dragon burn tattoo look.
Yeah, and anything with respect, not even just doing seances or mediumship, investigations. When you're there,
right.
and you're going into somebody else's space, whether it's an old haunted thing or it's the dead people's space or it's nobody's space, go in with respect.
Exactly. Definitely.
Well, that is something we have never taken a fire extinguisher for that purpose. I do not know if we're going to start that. But maybe,
well, hopefully you won't be terrorizing any ghosts enough to want to light one of you on fire. You,
right?
That's not necessarily our style of investigating, but I don't know. I think that may.
Well, now that you said Rob, even if we are respectful, something's going to happen and we're going to need a fire extinguisher. You just jinxed us.
That's right. Now you've created it. You put it out there into the ethers.
Yep.
You put it out there into the universe. Get one of those little small ones you can carry in your car.
You have to give me a spell. Now we need a spell to break that, what I just said. Do you have a spell for that?
Okay.
What do I have to burn? It would include burning something, would it? We have to freeze something? What would be the opposite?
You don't have to freeze it out. You don't have to. I mean, those are all very wonderful things. That thing did not get far. That get far into the universe. Touch your finger to your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And flick it. Out. Good. Cancel clear. So you get
to control
or
delete.
Do you know how many times?
Or cancel
to
delete, clear to delete. Huh?
Do you know how many times I'd have to do that per day?
So you'd be licking your finger a lot. And then you're flicking, because the moisture in your mouth, your saliva, again, that's your life force. The breath is your life force. So just, or just if you don't want to stick your finger to your mouth and flick it out and to get rid of whatever, just energetically do it. Again, intent is everything. With whatever you're doing in magic and investigations, in life, in your day job, intent is everything. To say, okay, I didn't really mean that.
Right.
And I find that I do that often, because we were just having a phone meeting with all of our mutual friends, and I said something completely negative. He's like, why did you say that? He's like, take that back. He's like, it's going to happen right now. Don't ever say that. And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe that's just something I do. I try to find humor in everything, even when it comes to, like, things that are not necessarily what you would find humor from. But,
right.
I like to laugh a lot. So maybe
it's a coping mechanism.
Coming negative from you, it's probably not going to do some negative unless it hits to somebody else and they are upset,
right.
offended, or their power taken away by it, then it's negative towards them. But if you're just being a jokester or a funny guy and it sounds like it's negative, but it's not really a put down, then it's not going to cause anything. I mean, like, it's not like you're cursing something. Anything could be a curse. Somebody flipping somebody off on the highway, that's a baby curse. Because it affects both of you.
Oh, well, then I do it a lot then. I probably need to be serious. Like, how do you get rid of that one? Because I am so guilty of that. Oh, my goodness. I have
Do my lemon spell in my book. Do my lemon spell. Lemon, salt, sour spell to sour fruit. You must go there because that's your soup. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Yeah, there.
All right, I'm
going
to have to do this. I do that a lot.
This past weekend, we went back to a place that she tried to run people over. And I was like, I don't really want to go back.
No,
there.
I did not. If I tried to, I would have ran them over, Rob.
She'd have been better at it, dang it.
Right. I would have done it all the way. I wasn't trying. If I would have tried, it would have happened, okay?
But again, see, those kind of curses are momentary. You're not going to take it home with you, but they're going to get, you're going to get upset, and they're going to get upset. So you, that was a curse. It's 5 minutes of anger or mad or screw you or whatever it is. Everything, it's to the stake of what you're doing. If you're doing a big old real legitimate curse on somebody, that's big. A little flip off on the highway, it's going to be a 30-second for both of you, or maybe 5 minutes for both of you. That's it. It's energy. That's all.
Well, I can handle that.
Yeah.
So
I got to find like an hour in my day to correct all of them.
that could be incorrect, because I've actually been on a phone for her for well over an hour while she's been driving. An entire hour she's been mad at driving and saying things. So you might, that might be,
I'm gonna be
an issue for you.
A lot of time spent doing this. I'm going to invest a lot of money in this stuff to get better.
I don't know how we got there. How we got in this conversation.
But, running people over conversation?
Yeah,
right,
I don't remember the exact segue where we decided this would be the great way to take this tonight's, you know, radio show. But, you know, you never know with us. That's
See, you can never know what to expect. Exactly. You never know what you're going to get. Life
we're
like
the
that.
Ghost.
Yeah,
we're like an investigation. You know, you just never know what you're going to get. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think you had a valid point when it comes to, you know, experience. Even when we go out and do our investigating, you know, and I don't know right what the right word is. Is it ghost hunting? Is it investigating? I guess a little bit of each. And you never know. You could always come across something like that. So it might not be a bad idea to be prepared for everything. We've actually encountered things happening that have caught on fire before. And it's a new experience.
Yeah, it's we're working with energy. You're working in a volatile world. Whether some people, you know, if you're doing a seance thing, you might have candles. If you're doing a tech thing, you might have a lot of wires and tech stuff. It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good Girl Scout, Boy Scout. You know, be prepared.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. Like over the weekend, I had a piece of equipment that actually preparing for the investigation. It actually started to get to the point where it was about to catch on fire. So,
see,
yeah.
Maybe this whole show is a forewarning of you guys needing to get a little fire extinguisher. So,
I think it is.
Well, the last thing
I
need is to catch on fire. You know, hopefully that's not going to happen. But
not going to happen.
No. Yeah.
I was going to say that's my luck, but then would that be a negative thing to say? Then I essentially would then burn up tonight.
Oh, God. Like, let's hope
whatever
not.
Happened. He burnt up.
But it went out in flames, big flames. It was glorious.
Right, it was a glorious flame.
Went out in style.
Yeah, that's right. That's so funny. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
yeah, I definitely want
to
see that video.
To do with anything that we you know, should be talking about, but that just reminds me of that obituary that Mickey shared with me, that some guy died playing ping pong. And so his family wrote an obituary that they put, go figure. You know?
Yeah, he said he died playing ping pong. Really?
Wow.
Ping pong. Yeah.
Talk about irony. Oh, my God. Skydiving?
Yeah.
No.
Right. Ping pong.
Water rafting? No. Ping pong. Oh, that's deadly.
Yeah.
Well,
but there was such good
care.
Humor in it. You know, it was great.
I'm this is not something negative, but I'm pretty sure based on my life history, I'm going to go out with something like that. It'll be something like, just like ping pong. That's going to be how I go out. And I just hope that someone takes the time to write an obituary like that, because I would find humor in that, and that would make me feel good. But I know I'm not going to go out in normal circumstances. It's going to be like something like going. I don't know what the scenario is, but it's going to be super weird. I can already tell you that.
Right.
And it probably won't even match. Like, I'll be like 80 or 90, and it'll be like, you know, something that a 5-year-old would have done, and that's how I'm going to go out.
Yeah. It
skateboarding.
Happens.
Well, you're creating it with your words, so go for it. And I like that because it seems like you want to like that and go for the 80, 90-year-old thing. Because I do believe, again, the power of words and the power of our sentences. You know, it's different than being goofy, negative, whatever, but, you know, we really do create, with our thoughts and our words, create where we live into. We'll never surpass our own thought pattern. We'll never surpass our own belief system, ever.
Well, I just know never to play ping pong. That's my new
and
thing.
And never play ping pong.
Yeah. Right.
You might catch on fire. Spontaneous combustion, there you go, while playing ping pong.
Yeah.
You can get on the paper
that
for that one. You can,
epic.
Yeah.
That would be epic.
The ball was so fast, it burst into flame.
I love it.
Well, and I understand, you know, and I actually believe what you're saying because there's some projects we're working on, and every so often one of the people who are working on the project will kind of be down on the dumps in the project. And I'm like, yeah, you can't be that way because, you know, we haven't reached our full potential with the project. And, you know, let's go for it. And I think that's the mindset you have to take because then we can get the project.
Okay, I'm going to give you a witchy hint on instead of saying you can't be that way, because that's anything that looks like it's a finger point, like you can't be that way. It's number one, you're shooting little arrows at them energetically.
Right.
Number two, the way they're going to hear it, it's an accusation. Of course it is. It's a judgment call. Of course it is. And they're going to get defensive and shut down. They might listen to you and defensive. If instead of saying you can't do that, just say, we need to be positive here, or we need this to be a forward-moving thing, they will hear it. It's almost like taking them out of the equation, and they'll do it faster and better and much from a much better heart.
Well, and this person's extremely
hard-headed,
so we need to, you know, get them on board because it hasn't reached its full potential, and I believe this project is meant to be.
Good. So enroll them in your vision versus tell them what they can or can't do. Enroll them.
There you go. Love it. Very cool.
Well, I can't believe we're over our allotted time already.
I know. That's crazy. Well, thank you guys for having me on. This is wild.
We talked about ping pong. We talked about people burning up. Necessarily for those, but I think, you know, what's funny is we'll get the most messages into our inbox of people like, you know, that was a really great show tonight. And we're like, we didn't cover anything. You know, like, that's the best part about it.
Kind of like friends discussing nothing. It's a show about nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
They're sometimes very interesting.
I know you have a podcast, and we've talked about your podcast, and you have a couple of things that I'm sure you want to tell our audience about. So can you do that now really quickly before we
Sure, really quick. Yeah, my podcast is called The Witching Hour. I will have to get you guys – my producer has me way booked out, but I will have to get you guys on. It's called The Witching Hour. It's on dashradio.com. And then after a week, then it goes to, like, you know, Anchor, Spotify, Apple Music, all the regular places. But it's called The Witching Hour. Just look for that. And I do this. I bring in really cool guests, and we talk about all sorts of things, everything from Miss America to vampires to paranormal investigators to astrologers. And it's fun. My gig on tomorrow, I have Shayna Mokler, speaking of Miss America. She was from she's beautiful. She was Miss America. She was married. She was on one of the first reality shows, Meet the Barkers, when she was married to Travis Barker. And she's a very mystical girl. We did a paranormal hunt together with Bridget Marquardt at the Deadly Departed Haunted Museum where the Jane Mansfield car was. And so she's a little bit of a ghost magnet herself. And the work's, of course, in the Hollywood world. So that's my episode tomorrow. Friday. I'm taping one tomorrow, but Friday she will air. So every Friday night on Dash, and then a week later, whenever you want to listen to it. So Witching Hour, yes. My book, check out my book, Old World Magic for the Modern World, Tips, Tricks, and Techniques to Empower and Create a Life You Love, because I promise you can get all sorts of stuff you want out of a really easy, easy read. It's available on Amazon. My website, pattynegri.com. When we get out of quarantine, if we ever get out of quarantine, I'm going to start working again with Trevor Moore, the comedian on Comedy Channel, Trevor Moore Show. I'm kind of his psychic sidekick, and that's really fun because, again, it gets to bring out kind of the sidekick, psychic, silly side, not all talking to ghosts. If we talk to ghosts, they're going to be really funny. And that's it. That's it. Oh, I've got my first live thing again, Virginia City, Virginia City Paracon, first week in August. Everything when the pandemic hit was canceled. Vulture City, Virginia City, this city, that city. It all starts up again in August. So come to Virginia City. Come. I'm doing Slaughterhouse in Arizona. I'm doing Vulture City Paracon. I'm doing a week in Dallas also in August. So follow me on social media or just go to my website, Patty Negri. Because I can't remember everything to list it.
Right.
No, that's awesome.
Very good.
And then soon in your soon in your repertoire of plugs will have to be the seance with us once we get there.
Yes. So add that. Let's you don't have to tell me where you're going, but we do have to set up a time because if you just randomly call me, I probably won't be home.
Right.
So
exactly.
To say on Tuesday or Saturday or whatever, so we have it ready.
We have to figure it out the best time. It's weird because there's sometimes that we go, like this past weekend, we went to two different places on two different nights. So, maybe we could even, we'll figure it out. There's a lot of places.
Yeah.
We can go.
Possibilities are endless.
that's the truth. All right, and then I will. We will be in touch, and I know we want to talk to you again privately, and thank you for set that up, and thank you for calling in tonight, and it's always our pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. You guys are great. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too. Thanks.
Bye.
She's always fun to talk to.
Definitely.
And we accomplished so much on that show. We talked about...
Dude, we covered so many different topics.
So much.
Ones we weren't even planning on talking about, which makes it even more fun. You know?
I think she was on board with my subconscious Rod stuff. And I always say Rod playing, and then Rod playing, it always goes so bad when you say it.
Okay, so I was at work yesterday, and... There was a couple who they were actually at my work on their honeymoon, and they were talking about how they were using dowsing rods, and the gentleman was saying how they wouldn't work for him. And I said, oh, no. I said, let me run to my car. You got to try my rods. Okay, you got to try my rods. These are amazing rods. Like, and I just said, okay, oops. I said, this sounds really bad. And, like, we had this, 10-year-old mindset where we all busted out laughing, thank goodness. And, it was just so funny. So I gave him my rods, and he went and he tried them, and they worked like magic. And those are the light-up rods.
But it's so
you know?
Worth
when, and it was
when
crazy.
A guy says it. But I'm like...
Yeah,
you know,
it's worse when a guy says it, but it just sounded, so awkwardly weird. Like, you got to try mine, Which made it just, we had that, humor,
Right.
But
it
worked,
and
the regular ones, right, but the regular ones, the regular copper ones that most people have, he would not work for him.
And
his new wife was like, I don't know what's wrong with him. Right, and she goes, I don't know what's wrong with him. And I said, look, I said, before you think that she's, messing with them and it's messing with your mind, I said, I want you to try these. And they worked. They worked amazing. They were really excited because, it kind of gave them both an opportunity. It gave her validation. It gave him an opportunity to experience what it was like when you truly, have something manipulate them to the point where it kind of, does that thing what we were talking about before where it kind of jerks or yanks, it moves. In a way that you just wouldn't expect, and it was really cool. So
you know what? Don't ever use the word jerks with that.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, maybe that's where it went downhill too. Yeah, yeah.
That definitely just takes it to a whole different level.
Maybe so. Needless to say, regardless, it wasn't the point to get goofy. It was just the fact that it was another case where. Somebody who really didn't think that, they cared much for dowsing rods had a totally different and awesome experience and a whole different outlook as to, what it's like to actually feel as though you're getting valid responses and that when you've never been able to get that type of response before. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think what we need to start doing, though, is when we need to have these people do my subconscious.
Yeah, that was the whole thing, though. You were so excited.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what you're asking.
You know, but
and I could tell you were getting
mad.
Frustrated.
I was, because you're supposed to just trust what I say. Have I ever been?
Okay,
like,
but it seems
when it comes
like you were excited,
paranormal
so you had that goofy. You had this goofy, like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, you were, like, being goofy, and I thought you were just joking. I thought it was, like,
I was kind of being goofy, kind of not being goofy, but then you turned it into where I felt it was an insult, because I have never lied on a paranormal investigation.
Me it that way. It's just, I was simply trying to explain that, you know, it would probably have been far more, you know, I don't know, better for you, if, you know, in your experience, because I would have had a clue as to what you were talking about, maybe if you were... Kind of like we said before, you know, if somebody is going to listen to an audio file, don't tell them what they hear, you know, or if
right.
you're both going to listen to it at the same time, like write down what you heard, because when you both are able to do that without having been tainted by someone else's interpretation of what's being said, and you both get the same thing, I think it's a much more profound experience all the way around when, you know that that answer or that response became organically to both of you without having any influence.
Well, and that's why
I
hate doing it, but it's something for visual. When we put our captures out, sometimes we do put the words on. And even though
right.
I don't like to do it, it does kind of like, it kind of is what people do and gives a visual. But, you know, you're right. So normally when I go to put a capture up, I usually try to send it to a couple of people and see what they hear and see how close
right.
it is. And there's a lot of times that, you know, you might be three words and you'll get two out of the three. And I find that to be good, you know. But then there's times you get excited by a capture and then you send it to five people, and all five people get something different. Then you're like, "Oh crap, it's not as great as I thought it was."
Right, and I've actually done that
so,
almost like in a study sense, where I've had, and I've noticed that my outcome from my little, you know, mock study here was that people from different regions. I mean, I went all over the world. I did all over the globe, and I found that people who were raised in the same areas had tended to hear the same words. Whereas the people, like everyone else, had something different as a response, which I thought was interesting, because to me it was an incredibly easy to hear, super clear response. And I thought there would be, you know, I didn't think there would be that many different responses from people saying they heard something different. But that's where, you know, people hear different things. Not to say anyone's right or wrong, just different.
They don't hear what I'm saying, then it's wrong. So what
yeah, I do know some people like that and who feel that way, you know. You know, we don't all hear things the same way. Kind of like, you know, some people can hear things that other people just can't hear. Like, decibel-wise, like, it's a thing. So, I don't know. That's a discussion for another show.
Well, we will do that. Let's do that on Tuesday.
Yeah, let's do that Tuesday. Yeah.
All right, well, thank you for, you know, co-hosting with me tonight.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're still tired, like I'm still tired from our investigating. And those people who are listening, watch for some cool videos to hit based on our captures from this past weekend and beyond. Way before.
Yes. All right.
We'll see everyone next Tuesday. Well, we're not
right.
Tuesday. We're going through this again. I didn't work on my clothes.
Oh, God, no.
Apologize.
Okay, look, it's understood, Rob. Understood.
Damn
they
it.
Got it. They got it. We
catch
don't have to go
week.
To the awkward, weird...
Catch
thing.
You next week.
Yeah.
Are we really going to catch them? I don't think so.
Oh, my. Never know.
Well, you'll hear us next Tuesday, everybody.
Yeah. Take care until then. Bye.